Welcome to the podcast of Troy Brewer, a guitar playing, globe trotting, book writing, Bible thumping, star watching, radio TV hosting, church leading, Alamo saluting Texan, and drop dead sold out Jesus freak.
I remember the first time I came out to your ranch, we were driving around in your truck just doing stuff, and everywhere we went, you're like, Sean, look at that license plate. There's this number. That means that. And so I got to see in terms of, you'd given me a copy of Numbers at Prophesy a while back before that. But just seeing patterns and numbers and all the things, like, that's a daily thing in your life. So I'd love to have you start by telling us, like, when did you start seeing all these patterns from numbers, all the things, and kind of how you eventually realized this is actually more like a superpower and your brain's wired that way?
Whenever I was first got saved, I was 19 years old, and I thought that was how everybody knew God. My conversion was extreme, and I know that shocks you.
I had no idea.
Yeah, imagine that. And then also too, as soon as I got saved, I wanted to hit the road. I wanted to go to Africa. I wanted to go to India. I wanted to take Jesus with me everywhere. And the Lord was like, no, you're something like the demoniac of Gadara, and you have to stay in Gadara, right? You have to, now that you're clothed, and now that you're in your right mind, people are just going to come to you. And I was in that whole process of trying to understand what my life could be, or who the Lord was to me, who the Father was to me, and who I am to Him. But to me, it wasn't something just in the Bible, and it wasn't something that was going to happen once I got to heaven. It was an every single moment thing. Now, I didn't know how to read the Bible, and I didn't know what I should read, so I started off with Romans, and I'm glad it didn't ruin me, honestly.
That's a hardcore place to start.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I go to Romans chapter 1, and I go down to the 20th verse, and I'm reading King James because I'm from the Bible Belt, you know, and you're not allowed to read anything else other than King James. And I got down to the 20th verse, and it basically says the Troy Brewer translation of for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, even His eternal power and Godhead, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. For when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, right? And I would ask people, what does this mean? And they would just repeat what I had just read. And I was like, you don't know what that means. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen through the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. What does that mean? It means this: the invisible attributes of God, everything about His character and all that He is that is totally invisible, can actually be seen by something that's going on with this table, by something that's going on with this microphone, through the physics, through the laws, through the weights, the measures, through relationships, through something your kids say, through the car that's in front of you. And then I begin to live my life looking at things going, now, if that was a dream, what would that mean? Because if I had a dream and I saw that, I'd go, I got to look that up. I got to search that up. And then I just started looking at everything around me. Okay. If I had a dream and some strange guy was interviewing me wearing that jacket, I mean, I would go, hey, I need to search that out, because that.
Pray for me.
I'm digging.
My wife doesn't go out with me if I wear this.
Obviously.
So, yeah. But
obviously
she's not here.
She didn't pick that.
No.
But I begin to see that there's so many prophetic markers that's going on around us that are screaming amazing things. And I don't want to miss those things. It's part of being watchful. It's part of looking unto Jesus. And it's so relational and it's so amazing. And it's going on all around us.
So for you, like, what is your go-to number? Is there a number or sequence of numbers that shows up the most for you throughout the time you've been aware of all this?
The problem with, once you begin to understand numbers in scripture and you begin to understand that numbers are preaching all around you and that it all glorifies Jesus and there's a message in it, is once you see it, you can't unsee it. I have people literally from all over the planet Earth send me so much mail going, please tell me why I'm seeing 1111 everywhere. And I'm like, okay, that's a great question to ask. And it's great to understand what that means. But more than that, you need to understand that you are actually seeing it, and that God Almighty is literally in front of you going, hello, McFly. And He's showing you something absolutely amazing. And you are perceiving and going, I know that this is God. this is not a coincidence. This is not something I can walk away from. And that begins a dialogue between you and the Lord. It's a lot like Moses and the burning bush. The burning bush burned for a long, long time before Moses ever went and looked at it. And a lot of people don't realize that in the text of scripture, but he says, I shall now turn to see this thing. So it's like, okay, that bush has been burning for a couple of weeks, and I don't know why it hadn't burned up yet. I got to go see it. And then he met God in that place. It's exactly like John in the book of Revelation, where he says, and I turn to see the voice. Oh, man, I love that verse so much, man. Okay, I heard a voice behind me, and then I turned to see the voice. Once you start seeing these things, if you'll understand what it means, brother, when the scripture says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out the matter. If you begin to search it out, you find Jesus there, and he changes everything.
So that's your book, Numbers That Preach, which has been wildly sold, bestseller all over the world. You have another book called Looking Up. I've had the pleasure of sitting in on a couple of your star parties that you do, mm-hmm. where you walk us through seeing God in the constellations. Take us into that. So you've gone down this rabbit hole, so to speak, of seeing God talking to you through numbers. When did God start speaking to you through the stars?
When I was a little boy, I my daddy would come and pick me up on the weekends, and he'd take me to the planetarium, and my mind would be blown. And I didn't think I could ever really learn the stars or learn the constellations or learn the winter and the summer solstice and all those things. I didn't really have any help to do any of that. I just thought it was cool that there were stories in the stars somehow. But then it turns out I'm a geography guy. I'm very much a connect the dots kind of guy. Okay. And it turns out that as I begin to study the science and as I begin to actually just get fascinated with what the names of the stars are, how many light years away they are, what magnitude are they, and what part does that play in the supporting story of the constellation that they are, I begin to go, wait a minute. Once I got saved, I understood that before the Bible was written in the book, it was actually written in the heavens, because the author of the heavens and the Bible is exactly the same person. And like now it's not even being written in the book. Now it's being written within your heart. It's being written within my heart. And brother, one day we will stand before God and the books will be open. It's all going to be revealed what King Jesus has written and what was carried out, what was demonstrated within our lives. Well, before that was in us, it was in a book. And before it was in a book, it was actually in the heavens. As a matter of fact, in the day of Abraham, there was no book. Jesus took Abraham out and said, let's look at the stars and let's talk about the plan of redemption. Okay? And that was not the devil. The Zodiac is not the devil. The Zodiac, or as the Bible calls it, which is called the Maseroth. The Maseroth is 12 major constellations that the sun actually passes through, and they are signs. They're like, well, you can't have signs because that's the devil. 12th verse, actually the 14th verse of the Bible, which 14 represents generational promises. The promise that God gave from one generation to another generation is on the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon and the stars, and he created them for signs, seasons, days, and years. The first reason God Almighty created all those beautiful dots that you see at night is for signs. That's why he created them. No, he created them for light. Nope. He had light on the first day, and he didn't create the material universe or the sun until the fourth day. Like, well, then what was the light if there was no sun? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? That's John 1:1. Mm-hmm. So it was Jesus. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, it's not a metaphor. It's not some flowery, poetic statement. He is literally the light of the world. And I began to, after I got saved, I had all this star knowledge, and I had all this, it's actually astronomical, astrological stuff. And I began to put it all together and go, whoa, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. The very first promise of the Messiah is in Genesis 3:15. The very first promise out of all the messianic promises, the first one is called the seed of the woman. And the very first of the 12 constellations that constantly rotate over and over again that the sun passes through is Virgo the Virgin. And she has a star in her belly that is called the branch, and it's known as the seed. And Virgo is a virgin that has a seed in her, and that is impossible. Yeah. And I'm like, what in the wild, wild world of sports? And then I started looking up all the names of the stars, and finding out that the stars, the names of the stars also actually told the story. And the names of all the stars to this day are in ancient Hebrew and Arabic. And the Bible gives two different verses. It says God is the one who names the stars and he telleth the name of the stars. So God has the stars numbered. He has them named and he also has them pictured from our perspective that Orion looks like Orion only from this terra firma, not from any other place. If you get in any other solar system, all the stars have completely different pictures. But no, he created it with our perspective in mind because the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day it utters speech. Night into night it reveals knowledge. And there is no language where their voice is not heard. He literally uses it to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of redemption all throughout the centuries, all throughout the earth, no matter what language anybody speaks.
I want to keep going on the stars, but I got another place to go in the interview. If you ever can get to one of Troy's star parties, they're phenomenal. He walks through all this long form. He'll throw in some bad jokes. It'll be a good time.
Absolutely. There will be bad jokes.
So Troy's a big numbers guy. He's a big constellations guy. And I want to land the interview finishing with a book that's going to be coming. We have a book we're working on called Numbers That Prophesy. But it's really looking at patterns of God talking through history. So in addition to numbers and constellations, you're also a huge, huge history guy. Talk to us a little bit about some of the places we can see God showing up in history, speaking through numbers, names, all the things. Like when you told me the concept for that book, it was not what I thought it was going to be, but I really loved it. 'Cause like, okay, this stretches me, but it's so different. I don't know of another book out there that quite is going to land where this new book's going to land.
Well, in living life and thinking if that was a dream, what would it mean? And then also too, in studying timelines, which I do, you can't help but use historical events as tremendous time markers, right? And then I begin to look and I begin to see the parables. And then, and actually that was, man, God was speaking through that event. I mean, God was speaking through the event of 9/11. Now, I don't think that God did 9/11, okay? But he employed it. And that's something that a lot of people, well, if God's speaking through it, then he did it. No, he did not. 19 Muslims with box blades did that. Okay. It was not God Almighty. But 9/11, the 9th of Av, okay? The 9th of the 11th month is a historical date in the history of the Jews where their temple was destroyed exactly 500 years apart to the day on the 9th of Av. Haman, the whole thing, the very first golden calf happened on the 9th of Av. It's a day of incredible judgment. The Inquisition began on the 9th of Av. And Jews know all this. Most recently, we turned over the Gaza Strip to turned it over to the enemies of Israel. And the day that we opened the gates was on the 9th of Av. It's like, what is it? It's 9/11, right? And it's like, okay, there's going to be a day of judgment for you if you will serve the gods and you will not serve me. I begin to look throughout history and like, just things like the Hindenburg and things like Titanic and the eruption of Mount of Vesuvius. And I begin to see the numbers, the names of the people involved and the event that happened all told a prophetic word. So a good example of that, that you can find biblically is whenever Jesus speaks to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, which are actually the seven epistles of Jesus, man. Everybody's like, we love the Pauline epistles. Well, do you love the Jesus epistles that he actually wrote and said, send this to them? And so a good example of that is Laodicea. He said, all right, here's the deal, pickle. If you don't get your act together, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth because you are neither hot nor cold. Laodicea was the very first city on the planet Earth that boasted both hot and cold running water. And then it was like going to be this big vacation place because they shipped in water from this hot place that was to the north, and they shipped in cold water from this cold place from the south. And then they actually had running water in everybody's house. It's like, come to Laodicea. It's going to be party town, and you're going to have hot and cold running water in your house. It's going to be amazing. But the only way that they knew how to transfer water then was through a Roman aqueduct system, which meant it was open air, which meant by the time that it got there, it was lukewarm. So the Roman general comes out, dun, 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 and they have the big ribbon cutting ceremony, and it's going to be awesome. And he gets a drink of the cold, cold water, and he gets a drink, and he goes, and he threw it out, and was, this is false advertisement. Jesus used that event in their culture that was in the headlines of their day to speak a word to the church. And he's doing the same thing today. It's the patterns, it's the symbols, it is the numbers, it is the words that are spoken and the players involved, but it's a word actually directed to the church if you have an odyssey.
And I want to get back to kind of this being the way your mind works. Have you wrestled with why God wired you this way? I mean, I know other folks who move similarly prophetically in some of this stuff, but has God ever told you kind of why he gave you this gift? I always say it's a superpower because I think it's really unique how you see this stuff, all these patterns and all these things.
Thank you. I don't know. God knows I'm a weirdo and he blessed it. Outside of that, I really don't know what to say. I have ADD to the max. I mean, I am the president of the Riddle and Glee Club. I'm multitask like you cannot believe. And it's kind of like mentally and spiritually serving God, not behind one oxen, but behind 15 or 24 in Elijah's case at one time. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. You know the language I'm talking. Like, it's one thing, man, to plow behind one oxen. It's another thing to take on 12 yoke of oxen and get behind them and plow. I just think that I think that God knows that I like things that are fun, and I think this is fun. It's creative. Yes, it's studious. Yes, you have to be consecrated. Yes, man, you have to know the word of God, but it's just so fun, and it's so life-giving, and it's also so personal.
Right.
It's just so personal, and I love personal things. I think everything in the kingdom is relational before it's functional, and it's very, very, very relational to, at the end of your day, to start connecting all the dots from the moment that you woke up to the time that you came back in the house and go, there is a sentence through the thread of how God Almighty has dealt with me that he is speaking to me today, and I will conform my life to the image of that plan.
Well, I think inevitably somebody's going to watch this and go, I'm not sure if I buy that. But in terms of, and I can see on the other hand, somebody saying, but we got scripture. Isn't that enough? On the one hand, from a church perspective and maybe from a non-church person perspective, you know, why is God reaching out to us through all these different things? We've talked about history. We've talked about consolations. We've talked about numbers. Is this kind of like the rocks crying out? Numbers are crying out. Everything's crying out.
It is exactly like the rocks crying out. And you brought up a great scripture there. I don't even know if I've ever even used that point. It's like, well, if you're not going to do it, the rocks are doing it. Even if you don't know, they're doing it. You know, it's part of the problem with hearing the still small voice of God or the voice within the thunder is that we only hear the thunder and we don't hear the still small voice within it. There are thunderous events going on around us. I mean, how many? You know, you have a couple of kids. I have a couple of kids. I have 4 biological kids and have over 900 kids that have my last name throughout the world. And in the midst of, and they're every race that you can possibly imagine, in the midst of all that, and just hanging around them, God Almighty will speak to me through them. And I don't mean all of a sudden, you know, their eyes roll back in their head and God speaks. It'll be a thing like this. I'll be walking along and a child will be walking directly in my, jumping from one step to another. And I'll be like, what are you doing, son? Daddy, I want to walk exactly where you walk. Okay, that's God. Like, you better pay attention to that. And the fear of the Lord come upon me in that moment and go, whoa. Or I will hear one of my kids say this and then hear another kid say the same thing later on during the day in a different context. But I go, there's a word from the Lord for me in that. Why? Because I'm a hearer and because I'm a doer. That's why. And God is speaking through absolutely everything going on around us. And everything in heaven, God is speaking through all those things. And it should be on this earth as it is in heaven. Everything in heaven, Sean, is weighed. It's numbered. It's measured. The hair on your head is actually numbered. And it's sure a less number. Yeah, there's a lot of subtraction going on with you. And praise God that you got it. I will. But you got a really good looking head, so it's okay. Thank you. I do not, so I have to have my hair. The Lord has been gracious to me. But he is literally speaking through the weights, the numbers, the patterns. God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Meaning I put this pattern in front of you over and over and over again, and you just walked right away from it. I don't want to do that.
So this stuff starts showing up. How do we steward it? How do we keep track of it? How do we start weighing it. Obviously, you know, they could get numbers that preach and resources like that. But for the person, they watch this episode and they all of a sudden they can't unsee. How do you keep track of it? How do you weigh it? How do you do that?
Well, I do a couple of different things. It's just like my dream life. Okay. If I'm going to be serious about believing that God speaks to me through dreams, I got to be serious about recording those dreams and then searching out the matter. What do I think that those patterns meant, or what was God saying to me? A good example is a few months ago, or I should say 2 years ago, actually, I had a dream where just this very, very, very skinny woman who was supernaturally skinny, but she was still supernaturally stunningly beautiful. She walked straight up to me and she said, "Hello, Troy, do you know who I am?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "I am Nicaragua. Come and feed me." And I woke up from the dream and I wrote that down, and it felt like a pizza dream. But I wrote it down and went, no, I'm not going to dismiss that. And it wasn't very long after that, because I had my team start praying into it, that we had an opportunity to build a food bank in Nicaragua. Our food bank in Nicaragua right now feeds over 100,000 people a month. And that started from a dream, and it started with me understanding my sleep time is not just my time. Even my sleep time belongs to me and King Jesus. And I'm prepared to take note of things, to notice things and capture them and own the impact of it and then do the stuff. Exactly like that. I try and do that throughout my entire day. Whenever I'm reading the word, if I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 13, that love is kind, and then there's 16 after that, and they are, because 16 means the love of God. I'm going to start paying attention to 16s all throughout scripture and note how they are connected to the love of God. There's 16 Jehovah titles, right? I'm about to start talking about numbers, but what is love? It's where you lay down your life. Who's the 16th president? Abraham Lincoln. And what did he do? He laid down his life. Okay, that same pattern is in history as it is in the book, because the author is the same. I have to keep up with it, whatever things are that trigger me that make my baby leap, right? And it's going to be different for you, Sean. It's going to be different for somebody else. But I have to own the impact of those things. And I'd like to finish by saying this, that if Jesus does these amazing miracles all around me all day long, and I go, blah, 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 I want to tell you, that's highly offensive to the Lord. If I don't own the impact of that, Jesus said to Bethsaida, if I would have done the miracles that I've done for you in Sodom and Gomorrah, them folk would have repented, but you will not own the impact. I think I have to own the impact of how King Jesus is speaking to me.
I feel like there's somebody who's going to watch this who says, that's fine for Troy, because Troy has God dreams. I just have pizza dreams. You know, for the person who's never been down the path of really dreaming and hearing from God at night, what's a way they could move towards unlocking that in their lives?
Just because you're not aware of it doesn't mean you don't have it. You're just not aware of it. I want to tell you, I am so serious about admitting I'm ignorant, not meaning I'm stupid, but just go, I'm completely ignorant of this. I have no experience of it whatsoever. But if I've got a green light and if I've got an invitation to step into that, I'm going to have to get out of my, you know, my comfort zone and into this fearful place. I think one of the greatest keys, first and foremost, is a repentant heart and a willingness to say yes to where you have not, because it seems so strange. It's amazing as to what seems strange after a while just becomes, it's not strange anymore, you know? And I would say, first and foremost, that there's a real need for us to repent. I've already missed a bunch of things today that I shouldn't have missed. And Lord's like, dude, you should have saw that. It was right in front of you. It was so awesome. I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry. I was thinking about this or thinking about that. But a real repentant spirit to say, I don't want there to be any single part of my life or my day or my night, any part that I can't find Jesus in. That King Jesus is invited into every single part of my life. And you can do that. And when you do that, he'll say, okay, and he's willing.
And I think you really just have to be intentional about positioning yourself. Get a journal by the side of your bed, or if you're a modern person, maybe have your iPhone by your bed to write those dreams down and really just pray into it. When you're going to bed, say, God, I want to hear from you. I'm ready. I'm waiting to hear from you in my dreams. And the last thing I would say too, for helping you with dreams, get good sleep. Like if you're a person who never gets enough rest, you do have to get into a deep enough sleep state. I get kind of freaked out when I remember my dreams, because I don't tend to. But when I have dreams, I'm like, okay, that was a God dream. I'm sure to write that down. Because the reality is you'll forget some of the stuff God was saying to you in a dream.
Yes.
If you don't write it down.
Absolutely. I would say this too. Get off of Ambien. You'll be out driving around going to 7-Eleven at 3 o'clock in the morning, not even remember it. You know, some things like that. But honestly, I honestly, a willingness to own the impact, to right. take it seriously, no matter how silly it seems. Okay. I had a little, like I knew a guy one time, he had a dream, and the dream was he saw this billboard and there was a little pink pig by it. And that was it. And then he had that dream again. And then he had that dream again. He's like, after a while, I kept having this recurring dream. It was simply a billboard with a little pink pig. And then I was like, I need to pray into that. Like, what is that? And so he began to go, oh, I know. I'm going to do this study on pigs. Okay. Demons went into pigs. And so I'm going to cast out demons out of somebody. And God didn't say anything. Then he's like, okay. It's unclean. So I'm going to be dealing with unclean things. God didn't say anything. And then after a while, he ran out of pig scriptures. So he just said, I tell you what, I'm going to ask the Lord. So he asked God, God, what does that dream mean? And God, he heard the Lord speak within his spirit. Did you read the billboard? Instead of just making something up, he just said, well, I don't think I did. He's like, all right. So he started praying to have that dream again. And he had that dream again. And the billboard said, do not be distracted by little pink pigs. And it's like, okay, just, you would think that that's silly. Well, if I had a dream about a billboard and a little, there's nothing to that. No, there's something to that. And if you seek him, you will find him, and it'll change your life.
Well, Troy, I'd like you to lead us out with prayer for the person watching this who would like to see patterns, dreams, God speaking to them unlock in their lives. Lead us in a prayer to do just that.
Friends, Jesus loves you, and he loves every single part of your life. The idea that you have a secular side and a spiritual side is hogwash. You know, there's actually no word in Hebrew for spiritual. There's in the ancient Hebrew, they didn't even know the word spiritual. And if you were going to ask King Jesus, tell me about, you know, your really cool spiritual walk. He was like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about your God part. Oh, you mean when I was going to the movies today? Okay, God was with me and it was awesome. And I heard him speak through the movie. You mean when I was eating popcorn? Yeah. Oh, you mean when I was in prayer? Yes. You mean when I was buying a bagel? Yes. Okay, whatever those things are, God Almighty wants to show with you because he loves your life and he wants to show up with you within those places. Welcome him into that. Welcome him into that. Father God, I want to lift up my friends and I pray, God, that you would give us an eye to see and give us an ear to hear. Give us a God-given ability, sir, to overcome amazing things. I pray, King Jesus, Father God, sir, that we would begin to see you and hear you through the tiniest, insignificant things to the thunderous events. And I pray, God, that we would hear your voice in the midst of the thunder. And I love you, Lord, and I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.